This is the Friggin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 13.
Welcome to the Friggin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this live coaching session of the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. I'm super excited to introduce our guest today, Lisa McCarthy. Lisa is the founder and president of Make My Idea Real and the inventor of the Affirmations Mirror. Are you guys intrigued already? So seeing that, I had to know what her strengths were right off the bat, and also how we can help her take her business to that next level as well. I thought, Lisa, that your bio and everything about you is so spectacular, and I can't wait to have you share with our audience all the reasons that make you freaking awesome. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, how Make My Idea Real started, like where you came from, what your background is. Just tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. So I was, a child who basically was unwanted and got thrown into foster homes and just had to find my own way. And instead of rolling over and quitting, I just kept getting back up. And because of that, you know, it's led me to a different path than most people take. And I see the world in a different way. I'm able to see what's missing. And then I'm able to come up with like a puzzle to solve that missing piece. And it's funny because if you hand me like a physical puzzle, I'm like, ew, I hate it. But if you hand me a like, well, you know, I need to say something positive to myself in the mirror, I'm like, well, let's put technology in the mirror and let's solve that problem and let's make it auto delivery. And let's, you know, so just being able to see what's missing and solving those problems has really been a gift in life.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting how even the most negative life experiences, you know, we can choose to lay down and die, right? Yes. Emotionally, et cetera. Or we can choose to go, you know what, this wasn't what it should have been, but I'm going to make something good happen from it. Yeah. And you chose that. I mean, that, and how you did that as a child is absolutely remarkable to me, that you had the wherewithal to go, you know what, I just got to keep getting back up. Do you think that was mainly survival instinct, or did you have this inner knowing that you were made for something bigger?
I think it's a combination of the two. I really do. And I think as, you know, I became a mom, I really understood that the choices I made were being watched and that the impact I could make would be carried forward, and that it became a joy and a responsibility to set a better example than what I lived.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? It does change you to have, to have children so much. My children, and I know that, I mean, you've heard lots and lots of parents say this, our children are our best teachers.
talk
about holding a mirror, you know, not quite an affirmation mirror, but holy cow, when you want to see who you are and how you show up in the world, your children will mirror that. And sometimes it's amazing. And sometimes you're like, oh, I do that.
Right? Like, not now. You're like, what?
Yeah. maybe I need to work on that a little bit. So tell us about Make My Idea Real. Like, how do you help people? Do they come to you with an idea and then you help them expand that and make it actually actionable? How do you help people with that?
So basically, you know, we take whatever idea they have at whatever level. They could be in business already and wanting to expand something, or they're just starting and they have a napkin idea and they want to figure out how to go about making it happen. It's about taking it, breaking it down into simple, small little pieces, categorizing it so that it makes sense, and then sequencing it into the order that it, you know, needs to happen in order to achieve that goal. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So, and then the affirmations mirror was kind of a whole nother aspect.
Yes.
And it sounds like that started as a passion project, but tell us a little bit about the affirmation mirror.
So I was at a bunch of these self-development seminars and they're telling you, hey, go look in the mirror and keep eye contact and read this paragraph. And you're like, how do I read a paragraph and keep eye contact? So I started thinking about it because I have a line of kids' toys that are also forthcoming, and in there was the mirror for children. And I thought, you know, what if I take this and bring it into this self-development market? Mm-hmm. And so I began working on it, got the patents, got the design done, did a bunch of things. And then I ran around and got endorsements from people like Bob Proctor and Les Brown and JJ Virgin and, you know, just really Mary Morrissey, like Greg Reed, anybody who would talk to me. I was like, hey, how about you? What do you think? And, you know, so they were all very supportive and really endorsed the product and gave me video testimonials, which fueled you even further, fueled me anyway.
Yeah.
To keep going. And, you know, I still am pursuing that and, you know, went to the New Media Summit where I met you and was like, wow, you know, this is a great way to also help other people understand the power that they have within, you know, through the podcast, through the mirrors, through what we tell ourselves. It's just a continuing story.
Yeah, it's so cool. And ideation for for those of you who are wondering about what her top five strength themes are, ideation is number one. Are you guys surprised? Right? But then you also have a ranger, and you mentioned being sort of a master puzzler. That is what a ranger does. It like takes this hot mess of things that need to be done, and it goes, oh, I'm going to shift this here and here and here and here and here, and makes all the pieces make sense in a way that is effective and allows other, if you're working with other people, allows people to work to their strengths. But it is master puzzler. And then you've got strategic, which is obviously strategic, you know, like thinking even to go after people like Les Brown and, you know, these really, really big names for testimonials and for endorsements. You knew that in the self-development world, like what voice are they going to listen to?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting, even within that, I ran into people who were in like an entrepreneur conference. He's like, Bob Proctor won't talk to you. Why would he talk to you? And I'm like, but you don't understand. I'm like, I need to talk to him. And we went back and forth for a good 10 minutes. And I finally was like, I'm going to go. And he's like, well, you can if you want to, but he's not going to talk to you. The guy bought the mirror on the spot, paid cash. I walked back in and the other guy's like,
right.
You know, because you can't always listen to other people about what you know is inside you to do.
Oh, you can just drop the mic, Lisa, and we could probably be done. you're so right. You know, the worst that can happen is that he says no. The
and
worst that could happen is that he blows you off and won't talk to you, right?
Right.
But so what? Like, if you don't attempt, that's the outcome you're going to get anyway. So why not be a little bit bold? And we do, we get in our own way oftentimes to go, well, I just don't know if that's possible. And so to take that strategic and ideation and put those together and go, what could be possible?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And to continue that thought, even when it's not easy. I think that's the trick is, you know, when you're like, damn, I don't know if it's going to work, you know, because we all go through that. I certainly do. No matter how clear, no matter how, you know, strategic, no matter what, you always have those doubts, but it's about getting back up and being like, okay, so if that didn't work, what else is possible?
Yeah. You know, our past life experiences, as you know, is one of the things I think that really forms the fabric of who we are. And I am wondering if you can speak to a little bit to this, because of the rejection that you experienced as a child, is it one of those things that runs through your head when you're faced with a possible rejection? You're like, if I faced that and I got through it, I can face this tiny little rejection. Does that come through for you? Or is that something that you think about?
It is. It's not necessarily a conscious thought, but it's definitely one that's present. It's like, well, you know, you don't know what I've been through. So therefore you don't know what's possible for me. Only I do. And if I can believe in myself, then that's who matters.
Yeah. That's so brilliant. And such a great awareness and a great knowing that people often sell themselves short of what is truly, truly possible for their lives. I think it was Tony Robbins who said something on the order of, and I'm notorious for butchering quotes, so this isn't a direct quote, it's a paraphrase, but you know, we overestimate what we can do in a year and we far underestimate what we could do in a decade. Right. And then shorten those timeframes to anything else. And it's so true that we think, oh, I'm in a gung ho and I can get this thing done for the short term goals and the long term goals. We go, oh, I can't do all that. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is, really? Do you know that to be true? Is that really true? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how you won't know until you try. And I think that's
again.
Just,
you know, because maybe the first way you tried it didn't work, but there's another path.
Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, let's round out your top five StrengthsFinder themes. So you also have responsibility, the theme of responsibility, which is all about psychological ownership over something that you say yes to. Mm-hmm. So your yeses truly mean yeses. Your word is your bond. If you say you're going to do something, you follow through it. And if you don't follow through, it's like someone might as well have chopped your arm off kind of thing.
Yeah. It's integrity ultimately.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah. And then your fifth strength is futuristic. So, you know, what a beautiful combination to have ideation and futuristic, like what they can muster together with those two strengths mm-hmm. when they mix together and create their own little strengths, baby. It's amazing the possibilities that emerge. And so I would imagine, Lisa, that people are inspired just by being in your space.
I would hope so. I think that there's definitely times, especially when you're on stage and you're speaking and you're actually sharing from an authentic space, where people come up after and go, oh, I went through that. And oh my God, my daughter wants to be like you. She wants to meet you. Or, you know, an older woman's like in tears because she's had a similar experience and you've touched her. And I mean, what a gift that is to know that your entire life is not wasted. Your experiences bring something amazing to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's such value in that, such fulfillment in hearing even just one person mm-hmm. say that. And you don't hear just one person say that. You hear it over and over and over again.
Well, it's also about believing it, because mm-hmm. it's one thing to hear it, mm-hmm. but it's a whole other level to be like, yep, I own that. That is me. It's true. And that's, I think, where a lot of us get lost as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
We hear it. We're like, yeah. But it's whether you can actually let that land and empower you to keep empowering others.
Yeah, that's so true. I often tell my clients when they come on and start working with me, look, I will believe in you until you can believe in yourself.
Nice.
I will hold that space for you, because what I see from the outside is incredible things. And I know on the deep inside, you know it's true too, but I will hold space for you until you can believe it yourself. And as a coach, that's one of the things that I bring to the table for my clients, is really helping them to get through that time where they just can't quite believe it yet. Mm-hmm. To see, oh my gosh, and to have some of that proof in the pudding of, she's right. Oh my gosh. Like she saw this, and now, right. And that's one of the gifts of futuristic. Mm-hmm. I have futuristic in my profile as well.
So we're twins.
we're twinsies in that way. But then for you to be able to take that ideation, and like you said, I love that napkin idea, but you know, that term, the napkin idea, and make that into something real for people, and to help facilitate that. And obviously it's their ideas and their hard work and all of that, but that you can help them to facilitate that and get that live is truly amazing.
It is. And when you see somebody get their dreams come true, talk about like chills and awesomeness and wow. And you know, you're the biggest cheerleader when you see that stuff happen. And
yeah.
I think that's a gift too.
Yeah. So along with a lot of these gifts, and you've got get them done gifts, and you've got visionary gifts, you know, oftentimes as the CEO of your own business, right? You're either the visionary or the implementer, and very few people can be both of those things, but you've got both aspects, which is really incredible. You've got that major visionary thing. And then you also have, you know, your arranger and your strategic and your responsibility that can go out and get those things done.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear what the biggest challenge is that you're facing in your business right now.
I would say it's, you know, consistency, because people come and they get what they need, and then they go on and they do what they need to do. And so keeping consistency in the flow of people that you can assist is a big challenge. And then I would say, you know, with the invention side of what I do, it's actually being able to attract the funds that it takes, and, you know, the bigger picture implementation of the stores taking the product or things like that. So I think that those are the two that really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's tackle this consistency, just a little bit, because what you're really pointing to is the flow of consistent clients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where are your clients primarily coming from right now?
They would come from referrals, word of mouth, and, you know, conferences, things that I go to. that sort of thing. And one of the ones that I used to go to, I don't go to anymore because it moved to Florida. So that's kind of dropped significantly because it was loaded with entrepreneurs with ideas, and they were, which is why I started doing this, by the way, is because I saw them get taken advantage of by coaches who were trying to give them branding before they knew what they were, you know, building, or, you know, let's do the marketing plan before they knew they had a client, or let's, you know what I mean? It's just like so out of sequence. Before you know you have a complete vision, you don't start running.
Yeah.
So okay.
I want to underscore here, you're a ranger, because a ranger is the theme that goes, wait a second, this isn't the right order.
Yeah.
This isn't the right order that things need to be done in. And, you know, it's difficult to do that without having, like, you know, the plan in place already. When you have the plan in place, then you can start to shift the piece and go, oh, I guess that doesn't make sense. Or you kind of trial and error, but you have the gift to be able to do that before
you start falling down on your head.
Right. Yeah. Which is just brilliant. Okay. So referrals, you've got word of mouth, you've got conferences. Obviously you do things like this where you're coming onto podcasts and getting your message out that way as well. Do you blog? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have a podcast yourself?
I'm actually working on a podcast. Funny, you should bring that up.
And excellent.
It's going to be called Possibility Talks.
Okay.
Because it's about people who have dreams, people who've had dreams come true, people who are making other people's dreams come true, so that possibility can actually create reality.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And inspiring. And inspiring.
Yeah, you can be on
well.
There too.
Yay. I would love to be on. I would love to be
Yay!
On. So very cool. Now the referrals, are they usually referrals from referral partners, like coaches, like people like me, or are they referrals from previous clients?
Usually previous clients.
Okay.
And occasionally I would say people like you.
Okay.
But a lot of times it's about being that super boastful person, which I struggle with somehow, even in all that greatness, because I'm not like me. And I guess that's sort of the drawback of knowing that you possess all those skills, but not wanting to be the one who's screaming at the top of the mountain to get the attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've seen that, and that's just a turnoff to me. So I shy away from that. But it's all about me. It's all about me. It's like, no, it's not. It's about us. Because if you get your dreams to come true and you arrive alone, you're alone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And I think most of us have issue with this, because what we're told is that when we talk about the things that make us great, that we're arrogant. Mm-hmm. Right. So our society doesn't parse out the difference between arrogance and confidence.
Right.
Nor does it parse out the difference between confidence and authenticity, right? So like, oh, I'm an expert and this is what I can say. I'm great at these things and all of that. And this is what this podcast is all about, is being willing to say, you know what? I am freaking awesome. And not only is it okay for me to say that, I have a responsibility to say that, because I know that I have superpowers that can help people with X, Y, and Z. And also, I'm not everything, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, in a conversation, I am very clear and people can catch that I'm really genuine and capable, but that screaming from the top of the mountain just doesn't fit my soul.
Yeah.
But if somebody else wants to scream for me, I'm good.
See, I think that maybe this is actually the bigger barrier to your consistency issue, is not so much where these clients are coming from, but more so, how do I say, I know I can help you, without saying, aren't I great? Because what you do is not about how great you are. It's about what you can facilitate for your clients.
Yeah, it's pulling their own greatness out. It's
That's
pulling
right.
out their own clarity. It's allowing them to think differently and to inquire about what they want to create in a different level, down to a finite detail, so that when somebody asks them what they're up to, they're as clear as day. They're no longer going, and then we're going to do this, and then by the fourth and then, they've completely lost all credibility because they're spin cycling and nobody wants to hear it. You know?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the terms that I started to use, because I hated, and I'm not using that word lightly, I really hated, despised when coaches would say, oh, this is my client, and, you know, look at what I've done for them, you know, because my clients are the ones that are doing the work.
Yeah.
And in fact, for the first two iterations of my website, I didn't even have my face on my own website because I didn't want it to be about me.
Because we really are twins.
Yes. It was about my clients and what they were doing.
Right.
And the thing is that while they're doing the work, you're facilitating that. Right. And I talk a lot about co-creating. Right? So that we're walking arm in arm. So I'll say things like co-creating, walking arm in arm, because they do have to do the work. I cannot do it for them, which is part of the reason that I simply can't offer a guarantee with my coaching programs, because there's so much onus on the client for doing the work, right? And the cool thing about that is that they're the ones that get credit for it when all is said and done. If I swooped in and did things for them, I'm the one who owns the credit for that, not them. And that's not empowering at all. In fact, that's actually rather disabling.
Because then they become dependent and now they don't have the information for themselves. They didn't get the lesson and they're shackled.
Nor did they have the confidence because they know that the only reason that I made it this far was because of this person.
Right.
Right. So by them going, you know what? I worked through these things and I, you know, developed these skills and I understood what my messaging was and I understand where, you know, who I'm hiring, what programs I'm using, and all of those other things. Now they can be the hero of their own story. And, and so I pushed back against that for a long time. But Lisa, I wonder if you start using words like co-create or facilitate, whether that might feel more like you're arm in arm with your clients and that you can shout from the rooftops like, hey, here's the thing. These are my superpowers and this is what I can help with. And together we can do amazing things, right? Like and then putting that focus back on the person who's watching your Facebook ad, your video or whatever, wherever you happen to be, whether that's on your business page or wherever that the words are, that you're saying, you know, your idea is what matters. I can help you make it come to life, right? But it's not about you. It's about their ideas actually coming to fruition and being able to show them that that idea there's a rite of passage for it. And sometimes getting that idea through that door is so difficult and it's nearly impossible to do on your own oftentimes. So, you know, like you can be the one that can co-create that, can facilitate that. And maybe if you start using some words like that in your marketing, that might feel a little bit less like, oh, look how great I am. And more so, look how great you are. Let's do this work together.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So the referrals from your previous clients, and I presume that's where the word of mouth also comes from, is often from previous clients. Are you doing any active work reaching out to your clients? Do you have a referral program? Do you ask for the referrals from your previous clients? Do you kind of keep in touch with them? How do you facilitate that ongoing relationship?
Yeah, I check in with them and see how they're doing and, you know, ask if they know people. And sometimes what happens is people get caught up in daily living and aren't doing their thing after they've gotten clear because they realize how big it is to accomplish. It's not just a woohoo, you know. And sometimes they've moved on to license it because now they have the clarity to do that. So a combination of both, but clearly I could do it better.
Yeah. Well, and I'm wondering if that's where, because here's the thing is that when we look at where our sources are coming from, where our clients are coming from, we can do a couple of things. We can start to branch out because we got a nice system in place over here, or we can do more of that. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if most of your new clients are coming from old clients, maintaining that relationship and following up on maybe a more routine basis and saying, hey, you know, is your idea so big that you're now in pause mode? You know, where are the barriers that you're facing? An ongoing relationship like that, they're not only are you top of mind, but they're going to be much more likely to go, hey, you know what? She didn't just drop me after after we got done and I got the clarity, mm-hmm. which is a value add. And maybe you go into a maintenance, sort of program, like
that's a good idea.
After that, so that you can retain that ongoing relationship with those clients that are your biggest raving fans. Now that you're getting referrals from old clients also speaks to you're doing a really great job, because if they mm-hmm. had such a good experience that they're sending other people your way, that says a lot. So I wonder if you could be with, you know, with your team more deliberate about those old client follow-ups.
I think so.
And really it's a hard ask, right? You and I are similar in this respect, like asking those old clients, who do you know that has a big idea? When you're out sharing your idea and the clarity that you have around it now, who else is like, oh my gosh, I have an idea too. That's who we want to talk to.
Yeah.
Right. And helping them to know how to share your message. That's been a challenge for me, because sometimes business coaching, people see it like, I'm weak. I need a business coach. Right. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily sharing it, nor are they, you know, previous clients going, oh my gosh, you know, this coach was great. Now I want you to go see this person too. Or, hey, I really think you need to see a coach. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. There's vulnerability and weakness that comes up with that idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is funny, because you didn't think that in sports as a kid. You just thought that's the coach, and you kind of worshiped and did what they said because you knew they knew better than you.
That's right. But here's the thing, is our society glorifies this independence, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that you should be able to do it all on your own. And it's just a total fallacy. And so I have to actually give my old clients words to say. You know, and so when I can give them words to say, then it makes it easier for them to go, oh, I can refer her because I know what to say now, instead of it being like this weird, awkward, you know, you really need a coach sort of thing.
Great point, is coming up with sort of a short snap or script for them to, oh, you've got that idea. You know what? I worked with this person and they did this and this and this, and here you go. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
So, and the other thing, as you're talking to your old clients, et cetera, about referring you out, is helping them to know what the new client's process will now be, right? Because they know that they were taken care of by you. They had a good experience, et cetera, et cetera. But when we refer somebody, we are referring our
reputation,
our reputation, right? Yeah. So a referral truly is, that is a huge, huge honor. So helping them to say, hey, so when you send someone our way with a brand new idea, here's what they're going to experience. And so they're like, it grows their confidence in knowing how their friends, their referrals are going to be taken care of, because it does reflect on them.
Yeah.
And so just doing some of that, and it can even be an email sequence to all of those old clients, you know, hey, here's the deal, new year. And, you know, we're looking for, you know, to bring more ideas to life this year. Mm-hmm. Our goal over here at Make My Idea Real is to make 50 new, you know, new patents. So, you know, to facilitate 50 new patents. I don't know. What are your goals this year? Instead of putting words in your mouth.
That would be about right. At least.
Yeah. 50. Like, okay. Yeah. So, and here's the thing, is that you can help us with that. And we would so appreciate that. And now the next email shares, here's how you can share your message. And, you know, maybe the first one is asking for testimonials. And the second email is saying, here's how you can share us with your friends. Maybe the third one is, you know, this is the referral bonus that we'll give if it turns out that this person's a great fit to work with us. And guess what? Here's what their experience is going to be when you ship them over to us and you refer them to us. This is what their process will be. And so that it kind of grows their confidence over that time. And depending on the relationship with the client, maybe even picking up the phone is a good way to facilitate that conversation. You know,
I tend to think in this particular case, it probably is, because it is such a personal thing when you have inventions and ideas, that it's not just an email sequence that connects.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing how you connect best with your clients too, mm-hmm. Is a really good awareness. So, I mean, obviously you're going to continue to go to conferences and continue to grow your message. As you said, when I'm in person, boy, like, I'm clear and people get it. Mm-hmm. So obviously keep doing that. The podcast idea, I think, is going to be amazing. podcast guesting, I think, is one of the most effective means of sharing your message and really getting people to know you. And so doing more and more podcast guesting, and so maybe even setting a goal this year of I want to guest on, 25 podcasts this year, and getting your message out to different audiences. And I think, you were very smart to come on this podcast, and obviously we had a connection and it fit for this podcast as well. But who is your audience? Your audience is entrepreneurs and wantrepreneurs. Who is my audience? Entrepreneurs and wantrepreneurs, right?
Right.
So choosing podcasts that have your, they don't have to be all about ideas and getting outside the box and all of that. That's certainly what you do. But what matters is that your ideal client is in the audience hearing, oh my gosh, you know what? I have had this idea for like a year and a half or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. And you know what? It's time for this thing to come to life.
Yeah, definitely. And those are the things that matter in the end. It's we don't go through life going, oh, gee, I did everything. It's, oh, I should have. So
yeah.
In order to avoid those, we were talking about the should haves offline, and those should haves will kick your butt. So why not just take action and do?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is our parting message to you as you're listening is, what is that idea that's been simmering in the back of your head for, whether it's a month or whether it's 10 years, that you go, you know what? I think it might be time to vet this out. So Lisa, how can people get a hold of you? And what is the process that they'll go through if they're at the very beginning napkin idea stage, or whether they've had, prototypes and things like that built up? How can they get a hold of you? And what does that process look like for them?
Sure. So makemyideareal.com is the website. And depending where they're at, it's kind of hard to say there's one approach, because if they've already got prototypes, it's going to be about, finding out what went right, what went wrong, what did the feedback of the clients tell you based on that prototype? Did it work? Did it not work? I mean, so there's, when they already have something in place, it's a little bit different. But really starting with the who, what, when, where, why, how, you're going to accomplish everything that you want to do. Who is it for? Who is your team? Who are you to be bringing this out? What are you doing? What is the actual thing? And what does it take to accomplish that thing? And where are you going to put it? Which aisle? Which place? Which, what will they pay for it? Like really going through all those very basic questions to a point of, I've answered everything I can in order to begin to move forward. And
Excellent.
So that's sort of where we start, and, figuring out the timeline that goes behind all that, based on resources, based on their time, money, whatever it takes, patents, it just depends. Each client's a little bit different, but certainly starting with the clarity piece.
Okay, great. So if they go to makemyideareal.com, is there like a questionnaire that they fill in to get on the phone with you, or to get like how can they kind of start that process? Because it's scary. Like, let's just call this out, you guys.
Yeah.
It's scary when you have an idea because you just don't know, is this idea any good? Right? And Lisa's that safe person that you can vet that out with. So that very first conversation, how do they get you on the phone? Do they book that appointment right on your website?
Yeah. So basically they would join the newsletter and then reach out through that method and just say, hey, I'd like to book a conversation. We do like a 15 to 20 minute consultation, find out where they're at, see if it's a good fit for everybody. There's no like hard close. If it doesn't work, if your baby's ugly, I will tell you, I'm not going to just take your money and run. It doesn't serve me to do that kind of game. It's really right. Like, hey, is this really a valid idea and can it be proved? And, I don't necessarily know until we have the answers to the questions, because it could be the most brilliant idea. And I'm not going to tell you that, like, right off the bat, oh, no way, that's not going to work. Or, hey, right. There's 50 others. Cause guess what? There's 50 others of everything. It's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So get on the phone, just have that 15 minute conversation and then, see where it goes from there, because, those ideas that are planted in our souls that are, sitting in the back of our head, some of the best inventions never actually come to fruition. So don't let that happen to your idea. So get on there, get a hold of Lisa, makemyideareal.com, and have that conversation. At least have the courage to step up and have the conversation. Lisa, this has been amazing. I'm excited to see, what the follow-up with your old clients is, and you know how many podcasts you decide to guest on this year, and what other outreaches that you have that you get in place in order to continue that amazing, awesome flow of clients into your world. This has been a really, really great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you too. It's been awesome.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. This week's podcast recommendation is Something You Should Know with host Mike Carruthers. Mike Carruthers interviews top experts in their field to bring you fascinating information and advice to help you save time and money, advance your career, become wealthy, improve your relationships, and help you simply get more out of life. So here's why I like it. This is really good information. I only recently found this podcast, but each episode that I listen to, I find myself saying, "No kidding? Good to know." If you like learning new things that can move the needle in a variety of aspects of your life, you'll love this one. You can find Something You Should Know on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you'd leave a review over on iTunes. Every single review means the world to me. To know you're listening and to know you're finding value makes this whole thing worthwhile. And hey, while you're over there, click on subscribe to make sure you're notified of future episodes. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.